Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Wednesday, August 5th, and we are glad to join you. Myself and Mark King have been able to catch up on a few episodes, and we've discussed the Grizzlies so far. I'm in the bubble, but now we have arrived at Wednesday. We're basically, after starting the bubble, three games in 4 days against three opponents that are trailing the Grizzlies at the moment. The Grizzlies have started 0-3, and now we have come to the day of our fourth game, in which we'll be facing the Utah Jazz. We'll get into all that in a moment, and of course, we'll talk about the unfortunate news regarding Jaren Jackson Jr. But before we get into all that, of course, I want to remind you, first off, thank you for joining us. We have definitely seen an increase in our audience and those who listen to us, so we can't thank you enough. Whether you're a loyal listener who's been here for years or you're a first-time listener, we always want to provide you with the best content, so we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day to enjoy what we have to say. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can follow myself, Sean Coleman, at King_producer, and you can follow Mark King you can follow myself at StatsSAC, and you can follow Mark King at King_producer. In today's episode, in the third segment, we'll talk about the Jazz game, a big game coming up for many reasons. Obviously, the Grizzlies, they've got to get off that schneid, especially, with some of the other teams starting to show a little bit better play around the bubble that are chasing them. We'll to preview the Jazz series. In the first and second segments, we're going to talk about the Jaren Jackson Jr. injury and obviously the fallout that comes from that. We'll spend a few minutes talking about, Jaren Jackson, his second season here in the first segment. And in the second segment, we'll talk about what it means for the rotation. Unfortunately, a Grizzlies roster that, has been dropping like flies over the past weeks, as options become low, how can the available options be utilized best to make up for the losses? And the thing just in general about it is this, is that, getting into the news from yesterday. So 16 days ago, the Grizzlies, a lot had been talked about, just how fortunate it was that the Grizzlies, they had everybody back to full health. We had ended the season when it had been suspended with Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, and Justice Winslow all injured. Well, now, 17 days ago, we had those full rosters in place, a potential rotation lineup that would feature 10 or 11 people. So much depth, so many different lineup looks that we hoped could make up for the potential lack of talent that may be there against those talented teams. And then over the past 16 days, things have just unexpectedly, happened. And the thing about it is that, none of this was anticipated. It just all was, bouts of misfortune. Justice Winslow, 2 Mondays ago, had a hip displacement. And then, of course, there was the news about Tyus Jones, his knee after the scrimmage against Miami, that he would be reevaluated in a week. We see how big of a loss he is. But, of course, nothing compares to the news from yesterday, and that is the loss of Jaren Jackson Jr. to a meniscus tear. Friend over at Fast Break Breakfast, Keith Parrish, on Twitter yesterday, he showed a clip where, it seemed like the most obvious candidate for what occurred was when Jackson Hayes of the New Orleans Pelicans came into the lane. Jaren Jackson Jr. tried to defend the rim and just got off balance in the air and landed hard on his knee. Could have been something else, and he may have even played on it. But the big key is that Jaren Jackson Jr. is now out for the season, and that's a big blow. Like, there's, we've talked about with Justice, hey, at least we had the roster that got us here. We've talked about with Tyus, there are other players who we could sub in who have done it, though that has not really made a difference. We see how big of a loss Tyus is. But Jaren Jackson Jr., there's no replacing him. I mean, his skill set on the Grizzlies and the way that Taylor Jenkins has utilized it this year is a big key to our offense, and it's just going to be hard to replace. The Grizzlies are a much, basically their potential is significantly less now without Jaren Jackson Jr. And that's not just saying it because of his name. It's saying it because of the scheme. It's saying it because of the way that he was playing. He had been our most consistent scorer in Orlando, I believe our leading scorer. He was the reason that we were in the game against the Trailblazers. He was the reason that we, were right there at the last second versus the Spurs. And though he struggled a bit against the Pelicans, he still was an integral part, of our offense. So that's the key about it, is that with the Grizzlies' offense struggling as it is, and now without Jaren Jackson Jr. as an option, You know, that's just something that's going to be hard to replace. In a minute, we'll talk about how the Grizzlies can do the best job that they can of doing that. But the other thing about it is that now that Jaren Jackson Jr.'s season is officially over, we have two, not necessarily full seasons on the slate, but we've got 2 years of Jaren Jackson Jr. And the amazing thing about it is we've had 2 years of seeing Jaren Jackson Jr. as an NBA player, and he still doesn't turn 21 until next month. That's the crazy thing about it. In general, Jaren Jackson Jr.'s career development so far in his first 2 years has been a bit different than we thought. I think the idea of Jaren Jackson Jr. being a two-way player is certainly still on the table. That's certainly something that we all thought would occur, and there have been signs of it. For instance, you know, I mentioned before that in terms of players that had played 54 games or less into a season, you know, no matter what age, Jaren Jackson Jr. was the only one that had had 100, I believe that it was 135 or more blocks. And 135 or more threes and 85 or more blocks. Just the combo of threes and blocks for a man of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s size was absolutely phenomenal. There was a stat that was released yesterday that we saw. Jaren Jackson Jr., if he would have kept playing and likely would have surpassed this, if he would have made four more threes, he would have been the first player in NBA history to have 200 or more threes and 150 more or more blocks before the age of 21. You know, all this proves, what this means is that, yes, Jaren Jackson Jr., as a potential two-way player, he's still a work in progress in many ways. His consistency on defense, his fouling, and his rebounding are all things for a player his size you would really like to have seen more improvement in, just to be honest, or more consistency in. But they're still works in progress, and he's still 20 years old. But what's encouraging, and I tweeted about it this morning, what's encouraging is this, is that the difference between Jaren Jackson Jr.'s overall value added in his rookie year versus his sophomore year are about the same. He had nearly the same player efficiency rating. He had nearly the same true shooting percentage. He had nearly the same win shares per 48 minutes, meaning that the overall, you know, productivity that he offered was on par with each other from year to year. But a big key for me is that in his rookie year, he shot nearly 75% of his shots within, you know, from on two-pointers. This year, he shot nearly 50% of his shots on threes. So what that means is that the offensive profile, the offensive, you know, strategy of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s game has significantly changed between his rookie and his sophomore year. But the fact that he could still offer above average productivity, no matter what look he gives you, is highly encouraging. And as he develops and becomes more, as he becomes better at making decisions on how to utilize his inside and outside game, that's why he's called the unicorn. It's going to be hard for you to find a comparison for what he can do, and that's why he's going to be hard to guard. And if he can continue to get better on defense, Jackson Jr. can just turn into a true all-star talent. And beyond that, you know, it's just, it's so refreshing to watch Jaren Jackson Jr. play. I mean, even taking away, you know, yes, it's wonderful to see his interaction with Ja and Brandon Clark and the rest of the team. But Jaren Jackson Jr., just, he is such a personality, such a, just a refreshing, happy, joyful personality. Yes, some of it has to do with his youth, but it also just has to do with someone who just enjoys life and enjoys playing the game of basketball. So whenever you see someone like that have the one thing that they truly love, you see it on his Twitter interactions, videos, things like that. Jaren Jackson Jr. has an an unwavering commitment to the game of basketball. And to see that taken away from him due to an unexpected injury, it's heartbreaking. It really, really is. I'm not even talking about the Grizzlies' chances in the bubble or what it does to the team or anything like that. For Jackson Jr. himself, on arguably the biggest stage that he's had since he's been, you know, in college, even during the March Madness, on the biggest stage he's had, for that to be taken away from him, it is heartbreaking. But the thing is that just in general, as I mentioned, you know, he's had a start to his career player that's hard to find anywhere else. And while some things may be taking longer than expected to develop, other things have certainly been more advanced than we had thought. So the overall production of Jackson Jr. and his potential is still as high as ever. And it's likely he's going to come back better than ever for the start of the season. But, you know, as of in the present, it's a devastating loss. It's one that the Grizzlies, you know, the Grizzlies cannot sit here and try to make a person become Jaren Jackson Jr. You're not going to replace what he offered. So the Grizzlies are basically just going to have to take the pieces that they now have, the available pieces, and try to put them in the best position to succeed. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and we'll talk about how the Grizzlies roster now, of the available options that they have, how can the Grizzlies lineups look to put them in the best position to win. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Say it with me. Sports are back. That's correct. Sports are back. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've finally got one thing on my mind, MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime game-winning shot all wrapped into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of sports everywhere, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, the concept is simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL teams. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So last segment we talked about, you know, the devastating injury to Jaren Jackson Jr. I discussed a little bit, you know, about how it's a devastating loss. It's a loss that the Grizzlies, you know, they're not going to be able to replace that production, and probably it makes sense for them not to directly try to. Instead of trying to replace what they lost, the Grizzlies have to focus on making the most on what they have. And the thing about it is this: we're off to an 0-3 start. The Trailblazers beating the Rockets last night now puts, I believe, them and the Spurs within two games of us each. Yes, the Grizzlies' odds still are definitely there. And the Grizzlies, even without Jaren Jackson Jr., I think they can match up with the Jazz and the Thunder. And then I think as we get further into the playing the eight-game schedule, you may start to see the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks sitting players to the level that the Grizzlies may steal a victory. I still think that the odds are there for the Grizzlies to make the play-in game. But the road certainly could not, things outside of the Grizzlies' control and within their control, certainly has made it much more tougher than any of us had thought. So like I mentioned in the first segment, you know, you're not going to replace what Jaren Jackson Jr. offered. But there are key things to focus on where he helped that you now have to find some way to keep at, you know, at least a passable level to be able to face, you know, these talented teams that you have left on the schedule. So how does that look? Well, of course, the starting lineup that we had seen mostly was Ja, Dylan, Kyle, Jaren, and Jonas Valanciunas. Obviously, the bench unit has certainly, taken a step back with the loss of Tyus Jones. The bench did step up against New Orleans, especially with the play of Grayson Allen. But in terms of the bench, you've mainly seen Grayson Allen, you've seen Brandon Clark, you've seen De'Anthony Melton, Anthony Tolliver, and at times Josh Jackson and others. So, you know, with Jaren Jackson Jr. out, I think that the structure, it seems like Taylor Jenkins likes a bit of structure to start the game. I think you're going to see less of that. I think we could see two or three different starting lineups in our last five games, you know, before we see what happens, you know, as far as a play-in goes. But as far as against the Jazz for today's game, I really do think that the starting lineup needs to be, it needs to be Jonas, it needs to be Kyle, it needs to be Dylan, it needs to be Ja. And in my opinion, the player that you need to put in there is Grayson Allen. And the reason why that is because I understand completely where it would seem as if the most common sense approach with Jaren being unavailable is to start Brandon Clark. But you have to think to yourself, that's the traditional way of looking at things. In a traditional sense, Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. both are labeled as fours a lot of times. That's the position that they play. But in terms of what Jaren brings to the Grizzlies' defense and offense, I actually think it's Grayson who makes more sense for the Grizzlies to put in their starting lineup. When you focus on the starters, the thing that Jaren offered was that he offered perimeter play, and he also offered good defensive versatility. Right now, besides Jaren, Grayson Allen is honestly our best perimeter presence. Dylan's not shooting well. We see with Jaws coming off a 1-in-10 performance. Kyle Anderson or De'Anthony Melton have found the strokes that they, you know, teased during the scrimmages. So you've got to find some way, especially with how much the Grizzlies are struggling from three, you've got to find some way to get some type of consistency on the three-point end. And I think Grayson is the best option to do that. Number one, Grayson is doing well in catch-and-shoot situations from three. So if Jaw or others can penetrate and get a shot-out to him, that's definitely a development. Grayson also is the Grizzlies' best three-point shooter when it comes to being in the corner, or at least he ranks the highest at his position of any Grizzly for his accuracy from the corner. So with him in the game, his catch-and-shoot ability adds a needed element to the Grizzlies' offense where he can make threes, you know, off catch-and-shoot situations. He is a passing target if the Grizzlies can get into the paint, which they may find it easier to do against the Jazz. On defense, we've even seen it a few times where Taylor Jenkins has put, it may be because of the man that Grayson was playing, but there's been a few times where Grayson, there was a defensive three-second call, I believe, against the Spurs, where he was down low. And the reason why is because Grayson, for his position, in my opinion, has very good shot-blocking potential. He has good potential of timing his jumps and knowing when to alter shots. I'm not saying he's going to anchor the defense in the middle. But my point is that Grayson can offer good defense on the perimeter plus intelligent help defense in the interior. So I just think Grayson is the best option to start. I know we go a bit small, but the other big thing about going against the Jazz, who are a smart, efficient, slower-paced team in terms of their approach, I think Kyle makes a difference because you have the ability to use his intelligence and his half-court defensive ability plus his playmaking ability. Now that Jaren's not there to create himself, Kyle can be there as a second playmaker with Jaw to help you be able to use Jaw off the ball or set up other plays. So I think Kyle and Grayson are the combo to go with. The reason why I choose Grayson over Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark, they need Brandon Clark in that second unit. Without Tyus, Brandon Clark, and you could even argue Grayson may be a better reserve right now than Brandon Clark, but it still doesn't change the fact that Brandon Clark, the Jazz don't have just a ton of size after Rudy Gobert. So Brandon Clark against their reserves, that could be a very key advantage. And I think that the Grizzlies need to take advantage of that. So I think Brandon Clark staying in the reserves as just an X factor, as an ace in the hole for the Grizzlies, I think that makes the most sense. De'Anthony Melton just has not played well in the bubble. And I think that if you start De'Anthony Melton over Grayson Allen, yes, you may still have, you know, the big reserve advantage with Allen and Clark potentially. But with Melton's struggles overall, I just think that it would be hard for you to generate enough offense to be able to stay in the game if you play with Melton and Dylan and Anderson in the lineup at the same time. Hopefully, Melton's improvements will come when Tyus Jones is back. Now, the one thing that you question, the one thing that comes into mind now is that if you're starting Grayson Allen, that means that on the bench now you have Brandon Clark, you have De'Anthony Melton, you have Josh Jackson, amongst others. Who's going to be your point guard if you're starting Jaw, and you're starting Grayson and you're starting Kyle Anderson? Well, that's a very good question. You're going to have to stagger minutes at that point. You know, Ja playing 38 minutes a game is eventually going to catch up with him with how quickly these Grizzlies games are. So just in general, I think that you're going to have to stagger minutes. You may see De'Anthony Melton play a little bit more point guard. You may see some more of Grayson. You know, Grayson may play, you know, double the minutes that he had off the bench and play point guard. Plus, you'll play him at the two guard. You may also see that there's going to be some interchanging, kind of like a platoon situation I had mentioned last week. We may talk about platoons in baseball, but in basketball, platooning that off guard position, you know, to where if you need offense for a stretch, you've got Grayson in there. You need defense for a stretch, you've got De'Anthony Melton in there. There are different things, and Taylor Jenkins smart enough to utilize and you know, stagger his lineups. But the key at the end of the day is that there's going to have to be more customization based off the lineups that are in for the Jazz, based off the situation in the game, based off the type of stretch you need, whether it's stops over a certain stretch or offense over a certain stretch. You've got to be able to adjust your lineups accordingly. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think Grayson makes the most sense. I could see, though, there being a better chance that Clark or Melton could start. But at the very least, no matter who you're starting, I think at the end of the day, Grayson is the player that you need to rely on the most to feel the roles that Jaren filled. Of course, you're not going to have the same expectations, but at the very least, in terms of how they're playing right now, Grayson is the one talent that offers you that perimeter presence, and the Grizzlies are going to have some type of consistency there, you know, in every game that they play from this point on. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back in the third segment. We're going to preview the matchup against the Utah Jazz in Orlando later on today. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman joining you here. So we've talked about the news that's there. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out for the season. We've kind of discussed, you know, obviously what the Grizzlies are losing with Jaren Jackson Jr., how special he's been, you know, as the evolution of his game has continued this year, and how the Grizzlies, you know, theoretically, you know, could try to, again, not replace what they lost in Jaren Jackson Jr., but make the most of what they have with the roster and the available options that they do have. You know, and as I mentioned, when it comes to, you know, what the things Jaren Jackson Jr. offered, I think that Grayson Allen could step up as that perimeter presence. You know, I think that there you could do a platoon option, kind of different situations in the game with him and De'Anthony Melton. And against Utah specifically, I think Kyle Anderson makes sense, you know, as the quote-unquote starter at four, you know, and then you utilize Brandon Clark, you know, Josh Jackson, De'Anthony Melton, and things like that, and on options of the second unit. So, in the game against the Jazz, where can the Grizzlies find success? I mean, the Jazz are going to be the favorites in this game, and in all honesty, they're again going to be a team where if they have multiple players, multiple, you know, relevant talents of theirs have good games, it's just going to be hard for the Grizzlies to overcome. But the thing is that the Jazz collectively have not been playing that well in the bubble. They have struggled shooting. They're just above, probably around 42-43% overall in field goal percentage, only shooting about 30% while averaging over 33s a game in their three games in the bubble. A big key that I'll get to in the moment is that the Jazz are averaging close to 20 turnovers a game, and that could play into, you know, the Grizzlies' favor. But obviously, it also is another matchup between, you know, the Grizzlies and former Grizzly Mike Conley. Conley had a good debut game in the bubble. He's kind of declined a little bit since. But the big key for the Grizzlies, in my opinion, is that when it comes to Utah, they lost a big source of scoring when Bojan Bogdanovic, when it was revealed he's not going to be in the bubble. So their main sources of scoring are on the perimeter, and that's Mike Conley, it is Donovan Mitchell, and it is Jordan Clarkson. In the first game, it took a great effort from Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley to help the Jazz win their first game in the bubble. In their second and third games, that instant offense from Clarkson was not there. Yes, Mitchell picked it up in the third game, but without Conley and Clarkson, you know, there to support, the Jazz scored 94 points and they scored 108 points. So they've scored. So that's the thing about the Jazz. They have scored 106, 94, and 108 points. They like to play a slower pace game. So I think that a couple of big things for the Grizzlies are this, is that when you look at Mitchell, Conley, and Clarkson, the Grizzlies have to decide something. They've got to try to contain all of them. But the one thing that they cannot let happen is for Mitchell to go off and for one of the other two to have a very good game. You know, we saw in the one game again that they won, Conley and Clarkson combined for 45 points. The Grizzlies are going to have a hard time winning the game if they allow that to happen. So if you're not going to do that great at containing Mitchell, contain the other two. If you do an effective job on Mitchell, do your best to contain the other two. But I think Clarkson, especially in the Grizzlies' second unit, I think that matching Melton up on Clarkson on defense will be a big key for Memphis. If Melton can play good defense on Clarkson, Utah's second unit is not that good at scoring. I think this is a matchup in which the Grizzlies' second unit, especially if they utilize Brandon Clark in the second unit, I think that's where they can get the advantage. So another thing besides limiting the scoring of the Jazz's perimeter options and also hopefully gaining an advantage in the second unit is the Grizzlies getting out on the run. Utah is just not an effective team on the run. It's just not their style of play. It makes sense as to why it's not. But if you get out on the run, you do two things. You put the Jazz in an uncomfortable position. They're playing a game that they're not used to. And another huge, huge thing that getting out on the run allows the Grizzlies to do is it takes Rudy Gobert out of the game. That's a big, big key as well. Whose style of play is established between the Grizzlies and the Jazz? If the Jazz are establishing their slow pace, half-court style of play, the Grizzlies are going to be at a disadvantage. The Jazz are a much more in-sync team because that's how they play all the time. And if the Grizzlies are having to face Gobert on defense, that paint's going to be hard to operate in, and that takes a big, big key to the Grizzlies' offense. You know, it makes it out of sync, which is going to have, you know, fallout for the Grizzlies' offense in general. So if the Grizzlies, especially with the Jazz having turnover trouble, if the Grizzlies can start turning those turnovers into fast break opportunities, or even by getting rebounds, the Jazz have not been that strong of a rebounding team, even if getting the rebounds, the Grizzlies can quickly get an outlet pass into Morant's hands, then they have the ability to be on the run. We've seen Morant finish left and right without any issue at all. I think that if the more the game could be on the run for the Grizzlies, the more advantageous it will be for them. The final thing I think that the Grizzlies are going to have to solve, besides, you know, how to operate in the paint with Gobert there, that's the first thing I'll talk about, is that with Gobert in the paint, I think that something that may make sense for Memphis is bringing Jonas Valanciunas out, allowing for him to control the ball as other players are moving, have him hand it off, make a small pass, set up a play, and if space is created for one of the guards, pass it to the guard, then let Valanciunas rotate down. The guard operates for a good shot, a good pass. You've got Valanciunas still down in the perimeter to be able to, rebound. Or you bring Valanciunas out, let him set screens, and the Grizzlies guards get to the rim, hopefully without Gobert being there. That's a way that the Grizzlies could have success in the half-court offense if it comes to that. Another big key, though, is that if you're starting Grayson Allen, who becomes the ball handler in the second unit? There's probably going to be a minute or two stretches where you're going to be without a ball handler. De'Anthony Melton could do it, but are you comfortable with him doing it? I'm not necessarily sure. So at that point, if the Grizzlies find themselves to where, you know, Ja and Grayson and others have played a lot, and now they're in the second units, but they have the scoring potential with Brandon Clark there, who's going to run the pick and roll? Who's going to be out on the run? That's why I think they're going to have to stagger minutes between Anderson, Grayson, and Ja to make sure that they have a ball handler on the court at all times. So just figuring out how those minutes will go in place, I think, is a big development as well. So just in general, for the Grizzlies in this game, again, the Jazz have more. If the Jazz play to their potential and the Grizzlies play to their potential, the Jazz are likely favored. But if the Grizzlies can, you know, keep two of the three between Mitchell, Conley, and Clarkson at least somewhat quiet, if they can get the game out on the run, And if the Grizzlies can find the ability to use their passing in the half court and also on the run to set up good scoring opportunities, I think Memphis has a decent chance to win this game. It'll still be an upset, but I do think that they have a better chance to win than some may be giving them credit for. I think that if Memphis can establish their style of play, it can create problems for a Jazz team right now that is struggling, you know, in areas that can make it easier for the Grizzlies to get out on the run and to find good scoring opportunities. So there you have it. Again, the loss of Jaren Jackson Jr. is a huge loss. You know, it does have a significant impact on the Grizzlies' outlook, but the Grizzlies still are very much in control of their destiny, and they've got two winnable games coming up against the Jazz and the Thunder before they get into, you know, a very hard stretch against the top Eastern Conference teams. If the Grizzlies can stay focused, stay motivated, and do what they can to make sure that they're forcing the game to go into their favor, the Grizzlies are imposing their style of play on the game, I think that goes a long way for Memphis to be able to make the most of this opportunity. Hope you enjoyed the game today. We will be back tomorrow to review the game, kind of talk about, you know, through the first half of the bubble, what's all going on, how's the second half of the bubble outlook looking, and, you know, obviously we'll have reaction to this game as well. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Sean Coleman, and I hope that you have a great day. We'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.